And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. During the work week, I try to devote as much energy as I can to listening to what people request or ask, and then trying to provide a solution. And I think one of the ways that as human beings we always feel like we don't know enough is just because there's so much information. I really think it's okay if we question everything, and you're more than welcome to question just about everything that I say. I mean, either it's true or it's not true. I mean, I'm not foolproof here. This program this morning is called Health Essentials. If you have not ever tuned in, this radio station you're listening to is 90.3 KBJS on the FM dial. And I try to be here every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Now, obviously, there may be some days that I can't make it. I may have to attend a seminar or something. But then again, I like that sort of thing. Any opportunity to learn. You know, I remember about, let's just say, I'm going to say 40 years ago. Oh, yes, it's true. When I heard something for the first time, I thought that can't be true. But that was just based upon me not really being open-minded as curious as I should have been. I think I'm a little bit better now. I'm not perfect. But I want to start off this morning. And I realize I've discussed this topic before, but I'm going to discuss it from a little bit different angle. So what I did was I looked up a couple of articles, and I like it when they put everything to the test and do research. Now, does modern medicine own health? Well, no. Are they trying to help make the world a better place? Yes. I would say the person that works in healthcare, they're trying to help serve their fellow man, and they're using whatever information they have and skill set to make the world a better place. Well, what I'm doing is I'm using my skill set or the talents that God's given me that I'm working on developing, but I want to do the same thing. But I do have a little bit of a bias. I'm biased toward any natural remedy or technique that could be used that doesn't have harmful toxic side effects. I do not have every drug on the planet memorized, but I can look it up on the computer and I can find out if it has a horrible side effect or not. But for the most part, I'm going to talk about magnesium to start the program off this morning. And you may think that you know everything about magnesium. I do not. You may know a lot, enough to put it into practice. That's probably the only thing that matters about this information, is it's something that you can use to improve your health. So let me start off right here. This is not the title of the article, but this is the way I'm going to summarize it. It says that magnesium protects against hardening of the arteries, high blood pressure, and diabetes. And I thought, well, that may be a good one to begin with, because we're kind of killing three birds with one stone here. Does anybody out there listening, do you want to have stiff, hard, inflexible arteries? No. That's going to lead to high blood pressure and maybe even a stroke. Okay. There was a study in, let me see, where did I find this? Okay, and I'm reading the abstract. It says a relatively high concentration of magnesium in the blood. So maybe that's your first clue right there. When is the last time that your doctor has measured your magnesium levels in the blood? Well, after hearing this information, you may decide that you want to request that. And you may say to your nurse practitioner, when they do a yearly physical, if they draw your blood, you know, I know they're going to measure your cholesterol. Okay, I think that's good. Nothing wrong with getting feedback from that. There's a lot we can learn, but maybe you could say, what do you think, doctor, or what do you think, nurse, or the PA, if the PA orders them? Hey, I'm great with that. What about measuring my magnesium levels? So there was a study done from Mexico City, and it was published in the journal Nutrition. In this particular study, they took 1,267 Mexicans, that's just the wording it uses, And they revealed the magnesium also offers protection against high blood pressure and diabetes, besides looking at hardening of the arteries. Magnesium is going to be found naturally in nuts and seeds. I know this is going to disappoint a lot of men and women when I read this, but I know. I hope you're sitting down or you're laying down in your bed and you're super comfortable, because you're not going to like what I'm fixing to say. It's also found in dark chocolate. See, I knew you would be repulsed by that, because you're thinking, man, do I have to start eating dark chocolate to get my magnesium? You know, I'm doing my job here. Sometimes you have to just come to the hard reality of the truth. Okay, that's what I'm suggesting. Dark chocolate may be a source of good magnesium. You know I'm joking. No, that's true about the dark chocolate, though. It's full of magnesium. So you got green leafy vegetables. There may be some people listening that do not even know what a green leafy vegetable is, but that would be a source of magnesium. And you get it. If you eat a diet that's rich in these nutrients, especially magnesium, what are the chances that you're going to have a rich reserve of magnesium in your blood and your bones and muscles? Well, it'll be greater. Now, this is the next comment they make, and I don't like it, but I'll tell you why. And I'm just going to quote them. In countries where the diet is determined by the food industry, magnesium intake is not sufficient. Okay? And I thought to myself, who put the food industry in charge of what you eat? It's almost like they're telling you what you can eat and what you can't eat. That's always a difficult conversation for me, because the moment I suggest to a person that a $2 TV dinner probably doesn't have any nutrients in it, they kind of get bent out of shape sometimes. I'm not saying that to attack a person. What about if I rephrase that and write the phrase, in countries where the consumer is educated and they decide or they choose which foods are best? Okay. Every time you drink a soft drink, every time you drink an energy drink, you are just sucking the life-sustaining, life-giving, health-promoting, anti-inflammatory benefits of magnesium. I mean, it's your body's dumping it. Every time you eat a boatload of refined sugar in the form of candy, you're just losing your magnesium. Magnesium is probably worth its weight in gold. It really is. Now, some studies show that when you drink too much coffee or tea, you're losing your magnesium. I don't know if that's true for everyone, but it's true for some people. Okay, here's a study. The researchers studied 1,276 Mexicans, that's according to the research, aged between 30 and 75. So they had some that were pretty young, and they had some that were probably close to the end. Okay? All of whom, to be in this study, you had to be free of cardiovascular disease. And how did they determine that? Well, one of the tests they did was, it's called the calcium scoring test. I think that is one clever test. I like it. You can get that anytime that you want. I think it costs like $104 right now, maybe $102. I think when they first came out, it was like $49.95, $48. I'm going, man, the price is right. Anybody could get a calcium scoring test. But what it does is, it's the most accurate test that I know of that shows plaque in your arteries of your heart. So if they did a calcium scoring test of your heart, they're looking at what's called the coronary arteries. And so if you had a calcium scoring test of zero, that means, hey, you are completely free of all plaque or calcification. So here's the rule of the day. Anything that stays chronically inflamed for a long enough period of time, your body's going to calcify it. So if your arteries are inflamed, guess what's going to happen? You're going to clog them up with calcium and debris. Maybe some of that is old oxidized cholesterol also. So then the next thing they did, so they did the calcium scoring test. The next thing they did was, and this is pretty clever too, it's simple, but it's clever. They said, let's measure magnesium levels in these people's blood. And so they did. Okay. Are you with me on that? And so they had four categories. And I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Oh, there's my alarm. It tells me it's time to get up. You know why I don't change my alarm? Because I absolutely love the sound of that. Sometimes I just let it play. It just sounds so good. I think it's got a little bit of piano in it. Anyway, I just enjoy it. Anyway, okay, so what they did was they just broke people up into four quartiles. So 1/4 of the people, guess what they had? They had absolutely the lowest levels of magnesium, and they compared it against people that had the most magnesium in their blood. That's how they're doing this. And so here's what they looked at, number one. They said, what are the chances of hypertension being in these people? Well, lo and behold, the people that had the highest blood pressure, guess what they had? The lowest magnesium. Oh, that's not the only one. How about the people that had the most type 2 diabetes and the highest blood sugar? Well, they also had the lowest level of magnesium. And you're thinking, well, what about the calcium scoring test, Dr. Morgan? What did that look like? Well, they had the worst numbers of all time. They had the most calcification. So if you want to have high blood pressure, high blood sugar, or type 2 diabetes, if you want to have the most calcified arteries, my recommendation is to not consume magnesium. And you need to really work on drinking more Coca-Cola and more Red Bull and eat more candy and junk food. That'll get you there. Now, the people that had the absolute lowest levels of calcification in their arteries of the heart, they also happen to have the highest magnesium. And I'm looking at the graph. The ones that had absolutely the lowest diabetes were the ones that had the most magnesium. And then, I know this is not going to be a shock to you, but here it is. The people that absolutely had the lowest level, or they had the most normal blood pressure. I probably didn't word that the right way. The ones that had the least risk of having high blood pressure, they also had the highest level of magnesium in their blood. So, does this make sense? If you measure magnesium in a person's blood. Now, what I would say is here in America, it's probably going to be somewhere around 1.8, 1.9, maybe 2.0. So if you were to ask your doctor to run a magnesium test just to measure what's in your blood, if yours comes back at 1.9, that is no way, no good. You don't want that. So at least, I mean, isn't that the way that you like this? Don't you want to know there's something you can work on, something you can aim for? But you may have to make some corrections to what you're putting in your mouth. Folks, you already know what I'm going to say. The food industry doesn't control anything unless you let them. Yes, if you're a slave to ding-dongs and Twinkies and donuts, then yeah, I guess you could blame them if you want. Sure, but that's not going to fly. So if your magnesium levels are low, well, why don't you work on it? One of the things that you may have to do for, and I know I'm going back probably many, many months, but it takes time to get the magnesium back up to speed. I always think that magnesium and vitamin D kind of work synergistically, and where one's low, you can work on the other. Anyway, the researchers suspect that magnesium inhibits inflammation, and that's one of the ways that this works. Okay, so if you got too much inflammation, you're going to have hardening of the arteries and your blood pressure is going to go up and you're going to develop insulin resistance and diabetes. You're probably going to be more prone to cancer because inflammation is what drives cancer. My simple definition of inflammation is going to be when the cells and the tissues break down faster than the ability of your body to repair. That's inflammation. So if you want to say inflammation is disrepair, that's true. That's correct. If you want to say inflammation is poor healing, that's correct too. If you want to say inflammation is I hurt all the time and I'm stiff and I don't feel good, I'm exhausted, well, that would be pretty part and parcel to having excessive inflammation. Why would you not take care of yourself if you just knew what to do? So this is saying they're noticing in this study. Now, this study came from 2007. I am sure that there's a whole lot of new information out, but I think this is interesting. I don't think the truth has changed from 2007 till now. So your body is going to calcify anything and harden it if you stay inflamed long enough. No, no, no. Why don't you consider magnesium? Maybe that would be, maybe your goal today would be looking up foods that are high in magnesium. That's easy. Then look up foods that deplete you or things that you can consume that deplete you of magnesium. That's easy also. They also think, this is point number two, they also think that the positive effect of magnesium on blood pressure has to do with magnesium's ability to displace calcium. That comes from the American Heart Journal. Now, that's 1984, but I don't think the truth has changed from 1984 until now. So if you want to criticize the old-time cardiologists and say they're old-school cardiologists, well, then I'm going to say me likey old-school cardiologists for doing that study. So if you don't want to have a bunch of calcified plaque in your arteries, think about magnesium. Number three, this is part number two also. It says, the other reason why they think this lowers blood pressure is because when you have too much calcium, it causes the blood vessel walls to squeeze together and to contract and to become narrow. So you tell me, if you had a water hose, do you want it just to be the teeny tiniest trickle drops of water coming out the hose when it's turned on? Or do you want it to come out full blast where you can actually water your yard or, if you live in California, put out a fire? So what does magnesium do? It does the exact opposite. It opens up the blood flow. It relaxes the arteries so you can deliver more oxygen and nutrition. Haven't you and I discussed the idea that in the Bible, I think it's Leviticus, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood? Well, what if you just can't get enough blood to your heart or to your brain? Well, that's a problem. You want to have more blood flow or you want to have less blood flow? Okay, so calcium makes your arteries contract and makes your blood pressure go up. Magnesium does the exact opposite. So a lot of blood pressure medications are called calcium channel blockers. Well, in the natural world, magnesium is nature's calcium channel blocker. That comes from the British Journal of Pharmacology. I butchered that one. Pharmacology. I mispronounced that. That was 1987 July. July the 3rd. Okay. Okay, so number three, and this is an old article, so they're saying they're scratching their heads, they're puzzled here, they don't know how to figure it out, but they're saying the researchers don't know exactly for sure how magnesium reduces the chance of type 2 diabetes. Well, whether they figured it out or not back in 1992, who cares? We know now that magnesium plays a role. Now, am I saying it's the whole role? No. But God has designed it, or if I say Jesus has designed it, that magnesium is mission critical if you want to prevent diabetes or blood flow problems or, you know, high blood pressure, stuff like that, okay? All right, the results of this is the conclusion. The results of the study strongly suggest that lower serum magnesium levels are associated with coronary artery calcification in Mexican subjects that were initially free of clinically apparent cardiovascular disease, the researchers concluded. And then every research study says this. I'm not saying it drives me nuts, but I'm thinking, why can't we just play, you know, the hand that we're given here? But they always close one of these studies with, confirmation of these results in other populations is required. It's almost like they're totally hesitant to give a broad sweeping recommendation that, hey, stop consuming things that suck the magnesium out of you, and number two, start eating foods that are rich in magnesium, and maybe you want to supplement with magnesium. I know I'm saying this one more time, but one of the studies that I looked at not that long ago, I'm going to say maybe a year and a half ago, It showed that even if a person was low in magnesium and they're trying to get their magnesium levels back up, it's going to take about 10 months to do that. So maybe when your bank account of magnesium becomes low, you're going to have to work on it just a little bit. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that think they should just go to the health food store and take a magnesium capsule once, and it completely replenishes their bank account. It fills them back up. It don't work that way. Here's three other studies right here. I'm not going to read them to you. Here's one study. More magnesium, more free testosterone. This just says men with more magnesium in their blood are also just, well, this is going to blow your mind. You're probably not going to believe it. They're more likely to have a higher amount of free testosterone in the body. I'm not going to read that to you. That's enough right there. Here's another one right here. Almost 400 men over the age of 65 took part in this Italian study. And what's the punchline? More magnesium means more testosterone. I'm looking at the graph. Look it up for yourself. Here's another one right here. Here's an epidemiological study. It says, more muscle strength with more magnesium. The more magnesium elderly people have in their blood, the more muscle strength they have. I'm not going to read that one to you either. Anyway, man, do I like this topic. Because this is so easy. Talk about an easy way to help people improve their health. What did God create you for? What is your purpose in life? What should you be spending your time doing? What is it that we can do that would be acceptable and pleasing and show reverence to God with our lives? Well, I really want you to be as strong and radiant and energetic as you can be, so you can do all the things that God has set in front of you, all the good works and things that you were designed and created to do. You can do them if you have your health. How about that? Now, one more article about magnesium, and I'm going to hit you pretty hard on this. And the reason why is, at some point, you've got to get the idea that there's something you can do to help yourself. You're not helpless. You're not a victim. No one's trying to pick on you. Yes, there may be some factors. Maybe your great-grandparents and your grandparents and your parents, maybe they were not good stewards of their physical bodies. Maybe they weren't good stewards spiritually or emotionally or mentally. Maybe they didn't live up to their full God-given potential. Maybe if you look back in your past, you've got some family members that smoked a boatload of cigarettes. Or maybe they took a lot of illegal drugs. Or maybe they had a father that drank a ton of alcohol. Or maybe they grew up in a bad environment. Well, yeah, maybe that affected your genetic code, and maybe you're not as healthy as you should be because of the abusive treatment, the self-treatment that people... I mean, if you're living in 1920 and you think that Pepsi Cola and a moon pie is like the breakfast of champions, well, you're not helping yourself, okay? So when I read this article to you, this is really for those that wish and long to be healthy and strong. This is for people that value having a body that they can use to serve God and their family and others. I've always liked asking people questions about their jobs or their work, because I just find it so interesting. But the ones that really intrigue me the most are the ones or the jobs or the services where they don't just benefit themselves, but what they do positively affects so many other people in the world. You know what I mean? I mean, if you wanted to have a job where you say, all I'm going to do is just... can I just make up something here? I'm gonna buy and sell, you know, stocks. Well, you could do that, but that's really only benefiting you, most likely. I like the jobs where people, they touch a whole lot of families and a whole lot of people. And you know what? Even with the very teeny tiny thing that I do, I don't really do that much. But maybe somehow or the other, I can just come to the reality of God created me for a purpose, and I want to be useful to do the very thing that serves Him. And that means, you know, I need to apply myself. Actually, it may not make logical sense, but I like doing these programs because I like studying so I can in turn help other people. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the title of the article right here. It's a little bit wordy, but I think everyone's probably smart enough to figure it out. I'll help you with it. It says, Association Between Serum Magnesium Levels and Mortality. Well, what does that mean? You're going to die. In a community-based population study, this is called the Yamagata Takahata Study. That tells you where it comes from. It comes from Japan. Now, who am I speaking to right now? I'm really speaking to men because this is who this study was done on. And I'm so sorry, but I don't think women were included. But I think it's fair to say that we can maybe extract some benefits for women also for this. But I want men to live. And I want men to do great things in their families and in their community. I want men to be great leaders in the church. I want men to do things that honor God. And I want men to make the world a better place. Where would this world be without men? So here we go. This next section is only for men. If you're a woman, just turn the radio off. This doesn't apply to you. You know I'm joking about that. Okay, here's a study right here. In the year 2022, researchers from Yamagata University faculty of medicine published a study involving 1,314 men. They were residents of a particular region in Japan, and this was published in the Journal of Nutritional Science and Vitaminology. The mean age of the study participants when the study started was 63 years of age. Okay. When the project started, the Japanese examined the study participants. They also, and here's the part that I want you to listen to, even if you're a child, I want you to listen to this. They determined the concentration in the blood of magnesium in those that participated. You get where I'm coming from? That's all they looked at. I mean, we could measure a bunch of other stuff. They didn't measure selenium. They didn't measure manganese. They didn't measure chromium. They didn't measure zinc. They didn't measure calcium. All they did was they looked at magnesium. But this is interesting. And you're probably thinking, hey, Dr. Morgan, I wish they would do a study that would last at least 10 years so we could really see what happens over a longer period of time. Well, then your wish is my command, because that's what they did. Then they followed the study participants for 10 years. Now, during that 10-year period, remember, they started off at an average age of 63, which means some were younger, some were older, some were 63. 7.1% of the study participants, they just passed away. Okay? Here's the results. Now, get this right here, because I'm going to kind of draw a line of demarcation, or I'm going to draw a line in the sand separating one group from the other group. And this is exactly what they did. The average concentration of magnesium in the blood of the study participants was 2.4 milligrams per deciliter. So after I read this to you, you're probably going to go to your doctor and say, please check my magnesium levels. And when they say why, you can say, because I want to live. I want to give myself a chance to do the best it can with what it's got. I want to know my magnesium levels. And then we could always quote research. Now, the Japanese people are different. They're probably eating a whole different way than we are. They're probably eating a lot of seaweed. They eat a lot of seafood. They're eating foods that are rich in magnesium. So here it is right here. The average level of magnesium was 2.4 milligrams per deciliter. You ain't going to find that in America. No, no, no. I look at magnesium levels with some regularity. I don't ever see it at 2.4. I see it at 1.9 and maybe 2 on a good day, maybe 2.1. But what I'm suggesting is there's a Goldilocks just right amount of magnesium that is going to serve your body in such a way that you're healthier, And we can avoid a lot of these diseases that we just don't need to be having. You don't need to be sick. Okay. Based on this average, and listen to this right here, the researchers divided the study participants into two groups. A group that had more magnesium than the average, that means, so it's either above 2.4, or so here's the punchline. Let me say it again, sorry. When they measure, so you think of this, if your magnesium is 2.4 above, that's one category. If your magnesium levels were 2.3 or below, that's the other category. So there it is right there. If your magnesium came in at 2.3, you were in the category, so it's 2.3 or below or 2.4 or above. Okay. And what I'm getting to is this in your best interest to have your magnesium levels tested? Because if it's low, you got some work to do. So when the Japanese tracked which study participants died over a period of 10 years, that's all they're looking at is magnesium and who's dying, they saw that the study participants in the group with a higher magnesium level, they had a 73% lower risk of dying than men in the study of the other group, which was 2.3 or below. Folks, I don't know what else I would have to do to build a case that, you know, magnesium might be good. I mean, yes, I could literally, you and I together, we could just go through article or study or research after research and we could start building a case for it. But so, and here's the conclusion right here. I kind of tried to read through the end of it. I don't always read every bit of them. I mean, I'm being honest with you. Some of them I just can't. I mean, how much time do you have in the day? You just got to, like, be selective. But it says in the conclusion, the Japanese admit that they do not know exactly how a low concentration of magnesium in the blood increases the risk of death in men. However, the connection is so strong that the researchers believe that supplementing with magnesium may reduce the risk of death in people with low magnesium. Oh my goodness, talk about a radical idea. If you want to join me on the radio, I just looked at the clock. It's 7:32 and a half. So the phone number here at the station, if you want to give me a call right now and ask me a question, surely somebody wants to call me. The number is 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan.
Yes, good morning.
This is that guy with the Texas twang. Anyway.
I hadn't noticed that until now.
I was just going to try my best to call you this morning. I just went to the doctor Thursday. The nurse, first time she checked my blood pressure, the high number was 200. And then she said, I'm going to do it manually. So she pumped it up herself, you know, and it was 148. And then the doctor was so concerned about it before she left, after talking to me, she checked it herself again, the regular way with the machine, and it was 187. And so she wants me to go on, in fact, she ordered it for me. I don't know if I'll take it. Lisinopril.
Yeah, lisinopril.
Lisinopril combined with hydrochlorothiazide.
Hydrochlorothiazide. That's a diuretic. Yeah. I'm not trying to correct you, but just in case somebody else is listening.
No.
So they have you on a blood pressure medication and a diuretic. The diuretic is trying to suck the water out of your blood.
Okay.
Do you know what the lower number was by chance? Because that might actually be very important to you. So it was 187 over what? What was the lower number?
I don't remember the lower number. She didn't really say. She just says, it's 200. Like, you know,
well,
you need to be in the hospital.
I wish.
I did it the last 2 days. It was 153 over 77 blood pressure. I mean, the heart rate 64.
Yeah, that's good.
And yes, yesterday. Yesterday it was 160. Last night, actually, 169/85, and heart rate was 69.
Okay, good on the heart rate. Well, did they do any blood work that might have demonstrated a reason why your blood pressure might be up? For example, did they check your kidney function?
No, I don't think so. She did the since I had the fourth stage non-Hodgkin lymphoma 21 years ago. Well, I go mainly to get my blood levels because that tells me, you know, more about.
Well, did they tell you? Did they tell your blood levels then?
They take. I don't know why they take a day or two to get the results.
Oh, okay. No, I understand that. But you just haven't gotten the results yet since you just went Thursday.
No.
Okay, I'm with you. I follow you.
Oh, I've known the doctor I had before her. There's only two women doctors there now. This is at the Oak Street. Whatever they call it, you know, facility.
Yeah. Oak Street sounds like Palestine.
Well, this is here in Tyler on Broadway.
Gotcha.
Just off Broadway.
Yeah, I follow you.
Anyway, he tried to put me on blood pressure medication, and I just didn't do it. But, you know, I know you can't believe hardly anything on YouTube, you know, or what you see on the, you know, in that sense and all. But I saw this video, and this guy said that anything with PRIL, ending in PRIL, has snake venom in it from a snake in Brazil, and that it can cause all types of cancer. And, you know, of course, I looked at a lot of the responses, and some, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to get off my blood pressure medication, all this stuff, you know. And then there was one nurse said she was in the medical profession for 41 years, and it was all about pharmaceutical, not about the patient. And then there was one on there, I don't remember what she was. She was either been a nurse or something. I don't know, maybe she was a doctor. Said, well, that's not really right, you know. It's just a fraction or something of this stuff, you know, and all. But, you know, having had four-stage lymphoma, I certainly don't want to take anything. I just want to know, I've made notes as best I can of everything you just said.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a good topic I think that applies to you.
Oh, it definitely does. Probably more than anybody. But I have got to, if I've got to take blood pressure medication, I would really like to know which one is the safest, you know, if there is such a thing in pharmaceutical.
Well, when I went to school, all the pharmacologists that taught my pharmacology classes to me, and I want you to know I took notes. I don't want you thinking that I was one of those that just sat in class and skipped class, because are you kidding? I wasn't going to skip class. I got to learn that stuff. Anyway, but they would. This is what they would say. This is back in the middle 80s. Are you with me on that?
Right.
When I say 1980s, that was probably when you were in elementary school.
No, actually, I graduated, and I'm 81 years old. I graduated in 50, whatever it was.
So I missed it by a few decades, no big deal. But when I was in school, the pharmacologist would say, okay, when it came to the topic of high blood pressure, and this is the way they would present to us, and these were pharmacists, and that's all they do is, you know, hand out the high blood sugar medications. And this is the way they would promote to the class. They would say, okay, you've got to understand MED. That's the acronym for minimum effective dose. And they would really harp on this. And they're going to say, you do not want to give a patient more of a drug than you should. Just give them the minimal amount to get the job done. And then point number two, your job as a doctor is to teach the patient what's wrong with their body so they can correct it. And then they don't need the drug anymore. Does that make sense?
Right, that was MED.
Yeah, MED. That's just that just stands for minimum effective dose. They're just saying, don't use the biggest dose. Use the least possible dose, because all drugs have side effects. Even if the drug is made from research on Brazilian vipers, which is true. I mean, I don't know if it's really made from snake venom, but the research on what venom does to somebody, they're using small amounts of it to try to turn the heart down. I think it's like an angio-converting enzyme blocker or something like that. But to make a long story short, we're going to try to... That's why I want to look at your other labs, because they'll give us clues. And so, for example, just from the program this morning, do you think that would be easy just to simply request that they test your magnesium levels? Because if they did, what if yours came in at 1.9? I mean, I just read the research showing that the higher the magnesium, the lower the blood pressure.
2.4.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, hey, you took notes, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Good man.
I can't listen to you without taking notes. I've tried it, and I can't do it.
The other thing, and I don't want to get distracted too far, but there is a protein-based storage, or it's a storage protein made by your liver called ferritin. And study after study after study, blood pressure really begins to normalize when ferritin gets down to somewhere around 50 to 70 in men. So that means if they measured your ferritin level, that may be one of the reasons why your blood pressure is elevated at age 81. So the solution
is that iron?
Well, it's going to be old rusted iron, but the answer is yes. But it's iron that's rusting in your blood, and when you have rusted iron, a lot of it in your blood, you're going to be red-faced, you're going to be inflamed, you're going to hurt, you're going to be stiff, but your blood pressure is going to go up also. The other blood marker that could give you like a home run is insulin levels. If your insulin levels are 5 or below, that ain't the problem, but there's not much that makes your arteries stiff and hard and makes your blood pressure go up like insulin. So if your insulin was like 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that'd be enough to make your blood pressure go up. And then they can measure kidney function. That's so easy. The reason I'm saying this is because you're a smart guy, and if you knew that there was room to improve your magnesium levels, it would be just as simple as saying, what can I eat that has magnesium? And or you could start taking magnesium, and you could see if your blood pressure begins to normalize. But the prize is you become stronger and you live longer and healthier without problems.
Well, I think since cancer and chemotherapy, I have like zero testosterone levels, or however you pronounce it.
Well, did you just hear me read those three articles about the higher the magnesium, the better the testosterone? So, man, this is man, you are paying attention today.
Well,
let me write this down. The Texas guy is really smart.
Oh, not really.
You got common sense, though.
What kind of magnesium is safe? I know, you know, there's a lot of things, like one thing, vitamin depends on another one with it and things like that. I heard you mention vitamin D and magnesium.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten into that topic yet, but vitamin D plays a powerful role. Actually, can I start over? If I say vitamin D3... And I'm going to add to that another fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K2, because usually where vitamin K2 is more optimal, you have very supple, bendable, pliable arteries, meaning you don't have blood pressure problems. So I'm combining those two together along with probably cod liver oil and magnesium. If we just did that right there, that would be a powerful influencer on the health of your arteries and the tone. We could literally go, and see, what I was going to ask you is, what are your sodium levels? If your sodium levels on your blood test were like 136 or 137, 135, I'd say that's probably one of the reasons why your blood pressure is so high. Because if you don't get enough sodium to meet your needs, your body naturally overproduces a chemical called adrenaline. And if you get adrenaline, you're going to wake up multiple times a night and have to go to the bathroom to pee. And I know, Well, you don't want to, though. You just want to rest in your bed and wake up refreshed, right? When's the last time that you fell asleep and you woke up refreshed and didn't have to get up four times?
It's been 5 to 7 times every night.
Well, and that's why if we look at your labs, they may be like a gold mine of information about you. So just ask your doctor to get you copies of them. Let's just take a look at them and see what they say. But right now, what I'm telling you is pretty good. You could focus on vitamin D3, vitamin K2. To answer your question, there's a lot of different forms of magnesium. And now this is only my observation, so you can question anything I say, but I've seen when people take a lot of magnesium glycinate at night, they just wake up a lot. Glycine is the amino acid they're chemically reacting with magnesium to try to make it more absorbable or bioavailable. But in some people, you give them glycine and it just like wakes them up. And I don't want you to be awake all that long. So I typically use, there's probably like two forms of magnesium. One of them is just called Easy Mag. It's made from organic buckwheat. So it just comes from a plant. And if you look at the numbers of magnesium, you're not going to be impressed, but the stuff works. So if I had a person walk in my door and they say, Dr. Morgan, I am miserable. And I say, how come? Because I can't really sleep well at night. I'm constantly tossing and turning. If I point my toes the wrong way to stretch my foot out, I may draw up a cramp or a Charlie horse in my leg somewhere. That's what I use Easy Mag for. It works like a champ.
Easy Mag.
Yeah. And then the other form that I use frequently is called magnesium lactate. And one of the reasons is you make it very, very easy when you use magnesium lactate for your body to use it. So I mentioned this really, really quickly earlier, but if someone's low in magnesium, so if we did a blood test and your magnesium levels were at 2.1, I'd say, aha, now we're in business. We got something good to focus on, something we can do to help this man. So those are a couple of things. So I've got to ask you not to drink any more Red Bulls.
I do not do energy drinks. My sodium, to answer your question, my sodium level is always low, they say. And I think it's because I try to drink 8 glasses of water a day, and sometimes I think I'm, you know, taking all the, what do you call them, fluids, all the...
Electrolytes, yeah.
Electrolytes out of my body.
Well, and you're making my job super easy, because I just mentioned the medical fact that if a man is low in sodium, that forces your body to make adrenaline. If you make too much adrenaline, your blood pressure is always going to go up, and you're going to pee all night long. So, bam, there you go. The question is, do you understand what I mean? I mean, you're low in sodium. You're literally, I mean, most older people, when their sodium is like 135, 136, they go whack-a-doodle-doo in the brain. They start hallucinating. They start seeing things. Are you seeing angels in the corner of your bedroom right now?
No, but I've lately had a little bit of not something that really bothers you. I was trying, like I said, when I was trying to sleep, go back to sleep one night after getting up, I on my right side of my head seemed like there was a tiny little bit of pain or something. I don't know.
And man, you're making my job so easy. Yes. And these are, I mean, sodium is not bad. You got to have enough of it to function properly. I did not say go to Tractor Supply or Atwoods and buy a salt block and lick it all day long.
Right.
But you're deficient in sodium, in my opinion. Now, I'm sure everyone listening that's a medical doctor is going to poo-poo what I'm saying, and that's fine. I think it's okay to have multiple opinions. But when you have less sodium than what you need, it's one of your primary electrolytes, but you're going to be I'm going to say this, you're going to become physically weaker than what you should be when you're low in sodium. You might even have
last 2 or 3 years.
What'd you say?
I have really noticed the lessening of my strength in the last 3 years.
Well, how could you have any strength when you're low in sodium? Usually a man that has generous amounts of sodium, he has thick neck muscles like a Cro-Magnon man or a Neanderthal. Do you know any Neanderthals?
No, I don't, but I'm also the one that you helped me to heal from, have that terrible pain in the neck and in the head. Me and my friend also, lady friend also, was 93 years old.
Good.
Doing the lemon and that sort of thing, you know.
So I think that there's going to be a bunch of stuff that you can work on to help yourself. Sodium is one of them. If you're
what
scared,
what do I do about sodium?
Well, there are. Let me give you a sales pitch here. Do not consume highly refined table salt. That's not really what I think. Yeah. I don't really think of that as a healing modality. I mean, yeah, if there was nothing else, I'd use it. But you've got so many choices today, so if you wanted to, you could purchase what's called Redmond sea salt.
Yeah, I have been taking Celtic salt for some time since.
Yeah, as long as you know where it's coming from and as long as it's safe. But when you're, and I realize your blood pressure is elevated, but I'm also trying to take into consideration that you've lost your strength over the last 3 years. You don't have as much energy as you'd like to, so maybe something
exactly.
Like, so we're just trying to, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I'm sorry. I'm probably doing that. I don't mean to.
No.
I agree with you.
No, I get that. There's kind of like a little bit of a delay on the radio. And anyway, so here's some of the things you're looking at doing. If I saw your blood work, what if your albumin level was like 4.0 or 3.9, then I would probably plead with you that you're going to have to take a stab or make an effort to eat more protein. So when I say protein, I'm talking about eggs and fish. I don't know about anybody else, but if you offered me seafood today, I would say, why, of course, I want to feel like $1 million. Give it to me. I mean, it's just fabulous. Does that make sense?
Yes, I do sardines about, from your recommendation, about three times a week, not a whole lot of it.
Well, that's a lot. I'm proud of you. I think you're doing great. Imagine what you'd be like if you didn't.
Not a big quantity is what I'm saying.
You know what you and I should do later today? We should go down to the Gulf of America. I don't know if you've ever heard of that Gulf. It's called the Gulf of America. You ever heard of that?
Or the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, no, you got it wrong. It's the Gulf of America. Fishing for sardines later today, and we could catch a boatload of them. What do you think? We could let our nets down on the left side of the boat, and we wouldn't be able to pull them up.
How much do you think I should be eating a week?
I think that what you're going to have to really do when it comes to protein. So when I say the word protein, you're thinking about animal products, whether that's eggs or chicken or fish or beef or turkey or all the different types of seafood. You're going to have to probably go a little bit overboard if you want to give your body a chance to bounce back. Right. So if you're used to eating one egg for breakfast, I'm going to recommend you eat four.
Well, I eat three eggs a week, boiled eggs a week with my fish.
Well, maybe we could do that every single day. And if you do that, see, it becomes more challenging and difficult as a person ages to be able to absorb enough protein. It just becomes harder. So I don't want you to lose your strength. You do remember what your body used to lift, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's one of the things you're going to have if you're going to repair your body is more protein.
I'm only lifting about 50 pounds now once a week when I go to the gym. I do that, I've missed the last couple because of other things. But
well, you may have to. I don't want your blood pressure to excessively go up, but I wish I knew what your ferritin levels are, and I wish I knew what the other lab markers are where I could instruct you more precisely. But can I ask you more of a personal doctor question?
Sure.
Did the doctor or the nurse or anybody else in the office, did they go over all your findings with you and tell you, or did they come up with a game plan on how to restore your health so you don't need the drugs?
Only answer she has is drugs. That's the only answer she
has. All right. So I know the answer now. So you could drink 3 cups of hibiscus tea a day, and you could see if that helps your blood pressure. You could start taking...
3 cups.
Mm-hmm. You could just get whatever magnesium you can get your hands on. Some is better than nothing. So you could start taking magnesium, and you're going to see if that greatly helps your situation. Now, personally, I would go toward vitamin D3 and vitamin K2. I'm probably not going to do a great job of this, but if we start talking about ranges and levels to improve you, it may be a starting point about, you know, for a short season, not forever, for a short season, you may need about 10,000 units of vitamin D3 to kind of nudge the needle, and you may need at least 1,000 micrograms, that's mcgs of vitamin K2, to get you to a good place.
Short season of vitamin D3, how much?
Yeah, when I say a short season, that's my way of saying you ain't going to take that amount forever. But, you know, if you were deficient in magnesium, you may take more than the average person does for several months just to kind of get back up to speed. Does that make sense?
Right.
So, in just in case somebody's listening, I'm not saying every human being take 10,000 international units of vitamin D3 every day the rest of their life. They may not need that much, but you may need that much, because I want to get your strength back, and I want your immune system to work better, and I want your blood pressure, I want your body to self-heal or self-correct, where you can feel strong and you can do whatever God has in store for you, right?
And K2, how much?
1,000 micrograms is probably the minimum to turn it around. That's MCGS.
Right.
Micrograms, the abbreviation. If it were me, I would really pay attention to cod liver oil.
I do flaxseed in my treatment, that cancer treatment that scientist from Germany.
Yeah.
The Budwig treatment.
Yeah, Johanna Budwig. Yeah, the cottage cheese and the flax oil.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Actually, I'll use yogurt because I despise cottage cheese.
My
blood levels stay the same.
I cannot believe that you're making disparaging comments about super delicious, sour, foul-tasting cod cheese. How dare you?
My daddy ate it all my growing up life, and he was always on to it. Boy, you ought to eat cottage cheese.
Man, how long does it take for you to start taking your dad's advice? Okay, so cod liver oil is still what I'm going to look at, because that's going to have what's called EPA and DHA. And that's probably technically it's going to give you a bigger bang for the buck than maybe the flax oil in your circumstances.
Okay. Any particular brand or type? Drug important for
do your own research and just get the best one that you can. And when I say the best, look for the ones that have the most reviews. But anyway, unfortunately, we are completely out of time.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You've asked
appreciate it.
No, appreciate you. I hope you have a great day. I'm rooting for you, man.
You too.
Hey, thanks a bunch.
You.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, doctor.
All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBJS FM 90.3 FM.